So we've been looking at Jesus the last several weeks. We've looked at Jesus' baptism. We've looked at Jesus' temptation. We've looked at Jesus' calling of the disciples. And today, I'm just going to kind of briefly mention this, but it's really interesting. Matthew chapter 4, right after he called just a few of the disciples to himself and started gathering that group, he hadn't got the whole 12 apostles or disciples or however you want to put it. He hadn't got the 12 together, but he started ministering right away. I mean, it seemed like it was just a brief moment. I mean, he had his baptism, which was the beginning of his ministry. He had the temptation that was incredible that he went through for 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, and then the temptation. And then he started calling his disciples, gathering those around him, and then he went right into ministry. He didn't waste any time. He started doing the things that God was calling him to do. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and the region across Jordan were starting to follow him. He jumped right in. Started doing all the things that needed to be done. He knew he was needed. There was a period of time, and that period of time is right now. He knew he was needed. The things that he had, the world needed right then and right now. They needed healing. They needed someone to care. They needed someone to gather them up. They needed truth because he started teaching and preaching in the synagogues. He wasn't pulling anything back. He wasn't pulling any punches. He started telling them and teaching them. The very first thing is the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those and blessed are those. He gave them truth. He gave the world hope. He wasn't holding back. It's kind of a lesson we need to learn. It's kind of a lesson that we all need to learn. We need to step up. And this isn't going to be one of those step-up sermons. Well, maybe it is. But we need to step up and start doing the things that God is calling us to do. But it's scary, isn't it? It's scary to step out in faith. It's scary to go out into the big, wide world and start doing the things God has called us to do. So we're going to give you an alternative today. We're going to give you an alternative to going out into the big wide world and start doing the things you're supposed to do. We're going to give you the alternative to get into a nice, safe, small environment and start doing the things that God is calling you to do. You know, I told you I'm going to call, and this week I'm going to do it. If you haven't signed up to do a group, I'm going to call and just encourage you to do that. I'm not going to strong arm you or force you or anything like that, but I'm going to strongly encourage you to get into a small group. And the reason I'm really trying to encourage you to get you into a small group is because you, and I'm looking at each one of you. Hold on, I'll do that real quick. On the tape, it's going to sound really strange right now because it's so silent. Okay, I'm looking at all of you. You're needed. You're needed in the group. Not that you have a need, but you are needed. You see, over 100 times in the New Testament, it says our, all of them, one another. Today I want you to look at some of the passages that have the idea of one another in it, because we were never intended to do this Christian thing. We were never called to be an island unto ourselves. We were never called to have all the gifts in one person to be able to do all the things. We are called to be a part of a body of Christ, to be a part of a family that God has placed us in. Each one of us has gifts and abilities that God is wanting us to use for the betterment of his kingdom, for his glory, every single one of us. And he's calling us to use those gifts in particular ways. And one of it is within the body of Christ. So the first passage I want you to look at is in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Because someone here in this congregation, someone here needs your love. Someone needs your love. There's someone right now within this body of believers, within this room right now, that needs the type of love that you have. Someone needs that in their life. They need you to express that love to them. In Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Did I say that right? Yep, chapter 15, verse 7. Look what it says here. Accept one another just then as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. You hear that? Accept one another. Accept them. Love them. Put your arm. Well, that freaks some people out. Maybe you shouldn't go up and put your arms around them. But you know what? You need to allow people to know that they are loved. You see, there are so many people in our world today, there are so many people within our congregation right now that feel rejected, that feel that nobody really cares who they are. That needs someone to accept them just the way they are. And that's what Jesus did. If you read what I just got done reading to you in Matthew chapter 4, he didn't go out and say, okay, just bring me the healthy, just bring me the pretty, just bring me the ones who are, you know, already got it together, and we'll start working with them. No, he went out and he brought the people who were sick. He brought the people who were everyone else's keeping at arm's length. You know what I'm saying? He brought the people who had leprosy. He says, come on to me. Everyone else was saying, no, stay away from me, stay away from me. But Christ is saying, no, you come to me. Those who are hurting, those who were demon-possessed, who were doing things that everyone else was looking at and saying, oh, man, they're really evil. Stay away from them. Don't hang out with them. They got real problems. You know what I'm saying? Just when they see him walking down the street, you walk on the other side. We warn our kids, right? That's not how Jesus did. He accepted them. He loved them. And there are people in our congregation right now who need love, who need acceptance, who have things going on in their lives that they don't think anyone else can relate to, that no one would ever accept, that no one would ever understand. But you know what? They need a place that they can know that they are accepted. And yes, we gather in a great big room right now with lots of people, and that's wonderful and it's great, but it is so easy to be anonymous in a large group. It is so easy to walk in the doors, sit in your spot, slip out, and go out the door into your life in another way, and nobody will ever know. Honestly, I think a lot of people are doing that. And so it's scary, the idea of getting into a group. But you know what? We need to be in a group and know that we can be accepted and loved just the way we are. I don't want you to get yourself cleaned up. I want you to be who you are in the group. Because you know what? God loves you just the way you are right now anyway. And it's time we as Christians start loving one another just the way we are, accepting one another, giving grace and mercy one another, right where we're at right now. So someone needs you. Someone needs you to be accepting. Someone needs you in that group to sit by. Someone needs you in that group to just call them and encourage them and know that they are loved. Someone needs you. Someone needs you to help. Someone needs you to help them in some way, shape, or form. You know what? I am like the quintessential, is that a right word? I am like the quintessential person of needing help. Rob laughed. I knew he was. I was looking at him when I did it because I am constantly needing help all the time. And I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed that God has provided me with people that have been willing to help me in so many different ways. I am so blessed because of the relationships that God has allowed me to form with so many different people. I look at Dave. Dave, you're getting into that circle really fast, brother. I'm sorry, but I think of Steve over here. I think of so many guys that I know when I'm in trouble, I can call them no matter how crazy it is. I mean, goat cackling off of a snowmobile, all right? So anyway, that's a whole other story. I am going to get to that one of these days. I need help. You need help. There are people within this congregation right now that need help. They need someone to come alongside them. Take a look with me in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Look what it says here. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not, and that's true. You don't have to do this. You're called to be free. He says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, what? Serve, there it is again, serve one another. Serve one another in love. Help one another. And you know what? That's what the church is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be serving one another. We're supposed to be helping one another. If someone needs a driveway plowed out, you know what? We should be able to call someone and find out where we can get that done. Who can be able to do that? If someone, one of the strangest phone calls I've ever received, I can't remember who was with me, but I remember someone with the congregation with me. I got a phone call and someone needed lug nuts for their, were you with me that day, Rob? I can't remember who it was. Someone called and needed lug nuts for their car. I remember sitting on my phone thinking, why are you calling your pastor looking for lug nuts for your car? But it just so happens, this is weird, it just so happens, I know the person who has lug nuts for cars. And I connected that person and this person together. You know, there are people in our congregation that have needs right now. There are people in our community that have needs. And you know what? Some of those needs are big and some of those needs are small. Some of those things that we can do as individuals and some of those things we need to collectively pool together to help meet those needs. But you know what? I'll never know and you'll never know the needs unless you build relationships with one another. You know what? God has gifted you in incredible ways. He has given you incredible things that he has given those things to you for a reason to use for his glory. It is the most awesome thing to be able to use something God has given you to help someone else so that they can say, praise God that you were in my life. You see, people need help. And if we don't build those relationships with one another, I have no idea what you have. I have no idea how God has gifted you in so many ways. I love it when people call me over to their house or over to their shop because I love going to the shop and seeing all the tools on everyone's walls. I keep a mental inventory. I can't remember much, but I remember tools. I do. I kind of look around and think, wow, I know when I'm going to use that. And I keep this little notepad in my head. No one's ever going to invite me into their shop again, are they? I keep a little notepad in my mind of all the gifts that God has given to each and every one of you that I know about. How much better is it if we were sharing our lives with one another? I can find out that someone's good at fixing this or someone's good at doing that. And we can pool those resources together to help one another, to glorify God, to allow his kingdom to come. You see, someone in this congregation right now needs your help. Needs your help. But we'll never know unless you get involved. Unless you take a chance in a relationship. Someone in this congregation right now needs your advice. Needs the knowledge that God has placed in your head. Turn with me in Colossians chapter 3. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Someone needs your expertise, the knowledge that you have. Yes, even you, Pat. You're sitting there with your arms crossed. And someone needs what's in that cobweb place upstairs. Man, you are like doing comfortable. Like you got your shoes kicked off. Here, let me help you out, brother. Put them up a little bit. There you go. Someone needs your help. Someone needs the wisdom that God has placed within you. Colossians 3:16 says this. Let's go back to 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. You see, someone in this congregation right now needs your advice. Someone needs the information that God has stored in your brain to help them through the problem they might be having. Someone might need that information that you have, and it might not just be trivial information. It might need a biblical information. You see, I don't know this whole book. You realize that? Wow, none of you realize that?
Well, never mind that. I know this whole book then.
No, I don't know this whole book. I don't have it memorized. I don't have all the rules. I don't have all the understanding. I don't have all the answers. I know where I can find them, but I don't have them all. But you know what? Each one of you, as you study God's word, God impresses different things upon your heart, different things that stick in your brain. And they do. Some things do stick. And someone needs that information. Someone needs that encouragement through that information. We need to be communicating with one another.
You see, God can use you in amazing ways to bring out God's biblical truth into another person's life. That's why it says so. It's so important to dwell richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, biblical wisdom. Not only biblical wisdom, but also wisdom of the world. You know what? I've had so many people help me out in so many different ways in decisions that I'm trying to make. You know what? If I didn't share some of those decisions that I'm trying to make in my life with people I trust, people I know, people I come in contact with, I'd never get the wealth of information. They have saved me so many problems, so many troubles, so many heartaches in my life because Christian men and women have come into my life and said, you know what, Eldon, that might sound like a really good idea on the outside, but maybe not so good. Sometimes I should listen to that information a little bit more, right, Mandy? Yes? I could save myself a lot of time if I would just listen a little bit more. I know on our ski trip, yes, she's saying amen. I knew you'd catch up with me real quick. On our ski trip, on our way back, Mandy is one of those people that called before we left, said, you know what? The weather is really bad. The high roads are really icy. Right below Rockford, there's a big ice storm, and I pulled all my trucks off the road. They're all sitting there. You shouldn't do it. I was like, okay, that's fine. I said, well, we're just going to go as far as we can go and be safe and stuff like that. So I take all the information in. We're driving down. The roads are clear. Semis are flying by us. Everything's good north of Rockford. All the way through Rockford, we're doing great. People are flying by. I'm thinking, you know what? Why are we going to stop at a hotel in Rockford when people are flying by us? Let's just go. We can make it. Let's just go. Guess what happens? Literally, probably 5 miles south of Rockford, we're driving down the road. We're just going. We're like 40, 45 miles an hour. Everyone else is flying, but they're going by us so fast that the bus is shaking when they drive by us. We're driving along. All of a sudden, we get behind this person that's going like 20 miles an hour. And Alan, even though we decided we weren't going to pass, Alan decided we're not going to go 20 miles an hour. So he pulls out and passes, and he goes around just fine. And then Tina, she pulls out, and all of a sudden, we see headlights, taillights, 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 headlights, taillights, headlights, taillights, like this going down the road. And Robin and Dave are right behind them, and I'm in the back of the bus. And I'm going, hang on. Hang on, everybody, hang on. Hang on. Nobody screamed. Nobody yelled. Everyone was probably in too great a shock. Tina goes into the ditch just a little bit. It wasn't bad. Nobody was hurt. There were no kids in that vehicle. Everyone relaxed. But you know what? If I would have just listened to the wisdom of someone, we wouldn't have been sitting in a truck stop for an hour and a half that night. You know what I'm saying? But God used it. He still used it. You were right, but we were right too at the same time. Because God used it. Guys can never be wrong. You know that, right? And he's like, everyone else is, but she's smarking at me. What's that? I didn't hear it.
You didn't have to take Lexi home.
This is true. Yes. We all lived. Did anyone die during the ski trip? Okay, point closed. But there's wisdom in this congregation. There's biblical wisdom. There's knowledge, worldly wisdom. But we need to be able to share it with one another. You know what? It's very unlikely that you're going to share the problems that you're having, the advice that you're needing with this whole big group. Amen? I'm the only crazy one that does that. But it's very likely that if you pray about it and get yourself in a group of 10 or 12 people studying God's word, that God is going to lead you into that group with just the right people to meet the needs that you have right now. You see, someone in this congregation needs your encouragement. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25, it says it as clearly as it can. Verse 23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, we need encouragement. Someone in this congregation right now needs your encouragement, the encouragement that only you can give. You see, you're the only person in this entire congregation who's had the experiences that you have had. You are the only person that has a perspective that you have got right now. And someone in this congregation right now needs the encouragement that you can bring to the table because of how God has used you and brought you through this world. the experiences that you have had. You know, I feel like one of the most blessed people in all the world because so many times I get to hear the stories of encouragement. I know I'm looking at Jamie Kepner over there. I'm looking at Tina Anderson after she went in the ditch. I get to hear, I think of Steve Capes and the things that happened to him this week. I get to hear so many of the different stories of encouragement that are going on in people's lives. You know what? It's an encouragement to me. And there are people who are in this congregation right now who need your encouragement, who need to hear of the experiences that you have had, who need to know that there is hope on the other side of the problem that they're facing, who need to know that people really do care. You see, someone in this congregation needs not this person's encouragement, but your encouragement. You're needed. Someone in this congregation right now, someone in this congregation needs your correction. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. They need your loving correction. Now, this is one of the tough ones. You're looking very serious, Steve. You got your arms crossed. Do you need a chair to kick your feet up to? Just so you relax a little bit. There you go. Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know where this is coming from today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. I'm just trying to get everyone to relax a little bit, you know? Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. For each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. You see, this is hard. There are things going on within our members' lives that should not be going on. Sin that's happening within our homes that shouldn't be happening. There's lies that are being told. There are things that are being done. There are things that are being said that shouldn't be happening. And there comes a point in time in our lives that we've got to call sin, sin. We've got to recognize that God did not call us to live in this lifestyle with these things happening. Now, there seems to be a great contradiction between what I asked you to do at first. There's someone in this congregation who needs your love, who needs you to just be accepted just the way you are. Absolutely. But there's this idea that, you know what, I accept you just the way you are. I love you just the way you are, but I don't want to leave you in that place. You know what I'm saying? I look at my kids. I love my kids exactly the way I love them, okay? I love you with all of my heart that God has given me to give you. I love you guys. But when there are things going on, if I see my child playing out in the road, I love them just the way they are, and they might be having a great time, but is that the best place for them to be playing? Am I a good parent if I just say, good luck with that? Honestly, I'm not. Am I a good Christian brother or sister? If I love you just the way you are, I accept you, I am never going to abandon you. I'm never going to leave you. But you know what? This thing is being destructive in your life. This sin is overwhelming who you are. This sin is being destructive, and it's tearing you apart, and it's keeping you from being the witness that God has called you to be. What kind of a brother or sister am I if I am not willing to come up and risk the relationship and say, you know what, I love you, but what needs to be done here? How can I help you in this sin? Now be careful, because that plank in your eye can stick out a long ways, okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, before you go and try and take the speck out of someone else's eye, take the plank out of your own eye. So watch out for that. But if you're doing it with a heart and attitude of love, not trying to bring them down, but trying to build them up, it's needed. Probably if anything else in the entire church right now in today's society is needed, it's this. It's brothers and sisters in Christ coming alongside one another and helping us overcome the sin that God does not want us to live in anymore. Help us to have victory over the things that are entangling us and holding us back. Because Satan wants to keep us in that stronghold. He wants to keep us in the sin that entangles us and holds us back and just keeps us from being what God created us to be. He wants us to stay in that spot. And God is saying, you know what? I've given you a body of believers who are supposed to speak truthfully to one another, who are supposed to encourage one another, to love one another. You see, right now in this congregation, someone needs you to be honest with them, to stand alongside them, to help hold them accountable, who will call them on the phone and say, dude, how is it going? Can I pray with you? Can I hold you up? Someone needs you to do that for them. He needs you. Someone in this congregation right now needs forgiveness. Colossians 3:12 through 13 says very plainly, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, someone right now needs forgiveness. It might not even be something they've done against you. It might just be they need someone to confess. The Bible tells us to confess our sins to one another, and the prayer of a righteous man will avail us much. Some people right now are holding on to things in their past that they just need to let go of. They need someone to talk to. They need someone safe that they can lay it on the table and let the Lord start picking up the pieces and bringing healing into their life. Maybe they really do need your forgiveness. Maybe there's a strained relationship within this church right now, maybe. That's a funny one. There is strained relationships. Let's just be honest. There are strained relationships within this church right now that need forgiveness. That need people just to say, it's okay. It's done. I love you. Let's move on from here. It needs to happen. It's never going to happen unless you start building those relationships. Unless you start allowing your lives to come in contact with one another. It's so easy to walk in on a Sunday morning and get in this great big group and think we're doing the things that we need to do when Christ says, you know what? There is so much more to this body of believers that I want you to understand. There's so much more that I want you to be doing. There's so much more that could happen if you bring this body of believers together. If they start working as a unit, as one, if they start helping one another, forgiving one another, if they start living with one another, and loving with one another, if they start doing the things that God has called us to do. You see, right now in this congregation, someone needs you to forgive, to let it go. Why? This is it, coming down to the big conclusion. John chapter 13. I sometimes wonder if this isn't one of the most important passages that we'll ever read. In John chapter 13, it's Jesus getting his disciples ready for his departure. In verse 31, it says, when he was gone, Jesus said, now, this is after Judas was gone, to go and betray him. It says, when he was gone, Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Verse 33 says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this love, this helping, this forgiveness, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, as you love one another. You see, what sets us apart? What makes us different in the world? As Christians, what it should be is how we treat one another, how we interact with one another, how we love one another, how we help one another, how we forgive one another, how we give advice and encourage one another, how you correct one another, how we do it in a way that glorifies God. You see, when we start being the church and doing the things the church was intended to do as Christ said to us, then our light will shine. People will be attracted to the body of Christ, to the truth of Jesus, and to the power that comes through his name. All this to say, someone needs you. Someone needs you to be there for them. I got all kinds of pages back there, small groups. But I really just wish you'd just sign up today, if you haven't already. Because you're needed. Everyone thinks I'm too busy. Really. Got too many things going on. You want to sit down and go through schedules one-on-one? Nathan and I would love to go through schedules with you, wouldn't we, Nathan? I would love to sit down and compare. I'm needed. And I'll be there. You're needed. What's your answer? We need you. We need all of you. We need you. How do you respond? I hope you respond with yes. Because if you could see the eyes of the people I'm looking at right now, there is great need in our congregation. There's great need in our community. There's a great need in our world for us to be the people that God has called us to be. You're needed. You're needed a lot. So you get to decide. I'm done. We had to sing a song of invitation. That is a beautiful doodle you've made this morning. Yeah. Can I show that? That's very nice. There's all kinds of notes on there, too, so don't think she wasn't listening. Probably more notes there than most places in here. You're needed. You get to decide. Did God create you just to fling around like a ball in a pinball machine throughout this world? Just bounce from here to there? Has he called you to a purpose? Has he called you to a particular place at a particular time? Perform a particular task of love and grace to a particular people. We need you. Let's stand as we sing.